Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed.
When the United States became involved in World War II, General Douglas MacArthur and many people in the service fled from the Philippines. Later, in a famous speech, General MacArthur said, "I shall return."
This morning we direct our attention to someone who also once said, "I will return." Of course, the one of whom we're speaking is someone who was much more reliable than the famous general. We're talking about the Son of God and the Savior of the world, who said about 1985 years ago that he would return. We direct our attention on this last Sunday of the church year to the words of the theme, "Be ready, Christ is coming again." Our text is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But this know, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Get ready. Those two words are very familiar to all of us. Get ready for something, or get ready to do something, or get ready to go somewhere. Or possibly this morning you thought, "I better get ready to go to church." In the text before us, the Savior asks everybody to be ready for his second coming. And we ask ourselves, what must we do? And how can we get ready for his coming? As we think about this a bit, we quickly conclude that we cannot get ready all of ourselves for his coming. We look at our lives in the light of God's law, and what do we see? We see our sinfulness, and we see all of our failures. How can we as sinners be ready to stand in the presence of the Holy God and the Holy Son of God when he comes again? How can we possibly be ready? Scripture answers our question. We're directed to the grace and the mercy of God revealed in Christ Jesus, who made it possible for us to be ready for his second coming. We are ready by believing and trusting in him and having the assurance of forgiveness of sins. God did for us what we ourselves could never do, namely, save ourselves. God sent his Son, whose birthday we will celebrate in about a month. He was born in Bethlehem. When the angel announced his birth to the shepherds on the fields at Bethlehem, he also announced the purpose for Jesus' coming. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That promised Christ, that promised Savior, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. That babe of Bethlehem grew up and became a man. As the Son of God, he lived a perfect life, fulfilled all of the commandments in our place. And then he took upon himself all of our sins, the curse of God upon sin. And he came to fulfill that and take our place. And scripture says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or on the cross. He took all our sins upon himself and he died on that cross. And then he rose again on Easter morning to conquer for all people sin, death, and the power of the devil. He fulfilled everything that the Old Testament prophets had written and foretold would come to pass. For example, the prophet Isaiah so beautifully describes what Jesus came to do. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On Easter morning, he came forth triumphantly from that grave. He conquered death and the devil. And again, God chose angels to announce what had taken place, his victory over the grave. He is not here. He is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And so on the basis of that resurrection, we can now sing and say, as the apostle wrote to the Corinthians, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, through his Son, made it possible for us to be ready for the second coming of Christ. And now we are invited to be ready by believing in him, that he is indeed the Son of God, true God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he is our Savior. He came to us then in the past, brought us to faith, and he comes to us also today. He comes to us through his word and through the sacrament, always with the assurance, your sins are all forgiven. When the jailer at Philippi felt all of his guilt and all of his misdeeds in the presence of the apostles Paul and Silas, and he fell down before them, he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? The apostles didn't give him a whole long list of things. This is what you have to do in order to get right with God. They simply stated, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are ready for his second coming. The Holy Spirit comes to us and speaks to us through the word of God. It is he who turns us around and converts us and brings us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Savior. He brings us to a knowledge of sin and a knowledge of the Savior. The credit all goes to God. No one can say, Scripture says, that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Having prepared us for that day of Jesus' second coming, our Lord does not leave us on our own. We have his promise that he will also keep us in the faith. Scripture says, confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, which is the day of his second coming, the end of the world, and judgment day. To the Apostle Peter, the promise is repeated. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. ready to be revealed in the last time. Our text tells us how important it is to keep the lamp of faith burning. We read, "Let your waist be girded and lamps burning." Look at the picture that is presented here. You know and are familiar with the Oriental custom of wearing these long robes and gowns. Now, if you are in a hurry, you had better pull up your gown, pull up your skirts, lest you stumble and fall over your own feet. So spiritually, we should watch our step. Give heed to the word of God, lest we fall from our faith. The text portrays also a night scene. If you want to see where you're going, you had better not run around in the dark, lest you stumble and fall. You should have a lamp burning, it says, so that you can have some light along the way. I suppose if the Bible would be written today in our modern times and use modern English, it would probably say, if you're going to run around in the dark, carry a flashlight. If you want to be prepared for the coming of Christ, then you need to walk in the light of God's word, of which the psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word will show you exactly where to go, what to believe, and how to live. The light of God's law will show us our sins, and the light of the gospel shows us our Savior, that good news of how much God loved us. It is God, Paul writes, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sad to say, there are many people who aren't ready for the second coming of Christ. They do not have that lamp of faith. There are literally millions of people throughout the world who don't know the one true God, and they don't know Jesus Christ as the Son of God and their Savior. Spiritually, there are many people running around in the dark day after day. And then there are others whose lamp of faith has burned out. Just as a lamp, and just as these candles on the altar here need a source of fuel to keep on burning, so our faith needs a source to keep it alive. And that source is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Neglect that source of fuel for faith, and of course, pretty soon that faith will begin flickering, and as you neglect that source of faith, the light of faith will go out. As Christians, we want to keep this flame of faith burning brightly until Christ comes. We should also strive to do so as a congregation. As a congregation, as well as individuals, people can forget Christ's coming and the reason for which he came and what he accomplished and all of these things revealed here, and people can neglect getting ready for his second coming. If you read the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, these letters are all recorded in the book of Revelation, you see something very shocking. One church was addressed as being a loveless church. Another church was addressed as a persecuted church. Another as being a compromising church. Another as being a corrupt church. Another as being a dead church. Another as a lukewarm church. And only one of the seven churches addressed is addressed as being a faithful church. One out of seven. In all of the letters to those seven churches, the emphasis was placed on the coming of Christ, and the members were to prepare themselves and be ready for his coming. Today, our Lord will say the same things to many groups that are classified as being churches. In some so-called churches, this word of God is misquoted. In others, it is misrepresented. In others, it's simply a closed book. They'd rather talk about modern things, the things that people are talking about every day on the street. And what good does that do to prepare yourself for the coming of Christ? It does nothing but leave you in the dark. We are told in our text not only how we can be ready for the coming of Christ, but also when to be ready. We should always be ready, because we don't know the hour or the day when the Son of Man is coming. Scripture emphasizes indeed that he's coming again, but we do not know when. Scripture tells us God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. The assurance that the word of Christ is true is based upon the Easter message. The Christ who died rose again and conquered sin, death, and the devil, and he is indeed coming again. However, with reference to his coming, we're told, of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son, that is, while he was here on earth in the state of humiliation, he could honestly say during that time, I don't know, because he didn't always use his divine powers and his divine knowledge. But it's known, Scripture says, only by the Father. Now, what is written in our text with reference to the second coming of Christ is in agreement with whatever else is written elsewhere in Holy Scripture. The whole point is, be prepared for his coming. In other places in Scripture, we're told, as the lightning comes from the east and flashes all the way to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He will come unexpectedly. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Yes, we should always be prepared. Periodically, we read and hear about people who try to set the day when Christ is coming again. This has happened time and time again throughout the history of the world. And sometimes those people have gone and convinced other people, the end of the world is coming, Christ is coming, so why don't you get rid of all of your property and be prepared for his coming? And they would get rid of their property and they would turn the proceeds of that property over to these people who were telling them the end was coming. And before that day came, they left the scene and poor people lost all of their property sales. The tone of our text warns us against spiritual procrastination. Later, Lord. There's always time for that. Is there really? We don't know the time or the hour, and we ourselves should be prepared, lest our day of death come upon us before that day, and we are totally unprepared. There are always plenty of people who say, there's time for that. Later. Another time. I don't have time now. Many are involved in so much business and work and with making a living and are so wrapped up with all of the things for this life that they forget about preparing for the life that is to come. There are even some people who feel that they have lived for so many years and they never got excited about the second coming of Christ. Why should they get excited now? As long as we are alive, of course there is time to prepare. Every day, remember, Christ is coming again. Someone might ask, why is the Lord waiting? Why hasn't he come already? And Scripture answers that too. There's a definite reason why he has not come. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Somewhere out there, and only God knows who they are, but somewhere out there, there are people to be saved who need to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Son and our only Savior. And until that is fulfilled, the end, of course, will not come. But then in our day, think of how far the gospel has gone out into all the world through our modern means of communication. Where is there a spot in the world where the gospel hasn't been proclaimed in one form or another? So that's why the Lord is waiting. So, for you and me, it's to be prepared for that second coming so that we can say, as the Apostle Paul did, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You and I are ready when we truly believe and say from the bottom of our hearts, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. At the close of Holy Scripture, it is recorded the Savior saying, surely I am coming quickly. We pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, with the psalmist we ask, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? When we think of your countless blessings, and especially of the greatness of Christ's sacrifice for us, we should be filled with wonder, love, and praise. May it move us to confess, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. As we bring a portion of our possessions to you, may they be expressions of true love for him who first loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we ask it. Amen. O Holy Spirit, we humbly thank you that you have made the gospel of salvation known to us, and through it brought us to faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Let nothing please us more than the assurance that we are children of the Heavenly Father and heirs of eternal life. Let nothing give us greater joy than knowing that our sins are all forgiven. Divine Counselor, bestow your grace continually upon us that we may have the will to resist all temptations and the power to overcome all attacks made upon our faith. Guide us daily along the path of godliness and move us by our love for Christ to fill our lives with all manner of Christian works and living. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to deal honestly and fairly with him, to be patient and kind and forgiving toward him, and to help him in his hour of need. Guard our lips from sinful speech, our hearts from lust, and our minds from evil thoughts. Center our lives in God, and above all things, help our hearts to desire His great love and mercy, which is already ours through Christ. Make us willing to suffer the loss of all things, even death, rather than fall away from our Savior. O Spirit of truth, we confess we often neglect your divine word. All too easily, we allow worldly matters to keep us from searching and studying Holy Scripture. Help us to remedy this spiritual weakness by regularly including some time to study your word in our daily schedule. And as we read and meditate upon it, grant us spiritual growth and blessings according to your promise. Do not permit us to be discouraged by the wickedness of this present evil world. Help us to await with longing hearts the return of our Savior, who will take us to himself in heaven. Reveal the treasure of the gospel to the hearts of sinners everywhere, and turn them from their sins and unbelief to their Savior Jesus. It is in his name that we make all these and all our requests known unto you. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "All of you drink of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this saving gift, and we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.